And now, here he is, Mike Gallagher.
I just love debates that are resurrected, and you're left wondering, is this relevant? Is it dated? Is this just an old wives' tale? And we touched on it a little bit the other day. It has to do with fluoridation in the water. And I mean, I've never given it a whole lot of thought. I go to the dentist. You know, I don't like going to the dentist. I'm glad that my teeth are in relatively good condition. My wife, our kids, we're pretty good dental health. But there is something, at least to me, a little devious, a little sinister about a municipality putting a chemical into the drinking water to try to obtain some health benefit. And that's exactly what putting fluoride in the water does, right? I mean, I think everybody can agree with this, that you may not agree that it's sinister, but the process is, for the common good, we're going to put a chemical into the drinking water to try to give you better teeth. I mean, why stop with teeth? Maybe there's a chemical that can go in the drinking water that can help us lose weight. Maybe there's a chemical they can put in the drinking water to help clear acne or, you know, get rid of the bald spot. I mean, how far does this concept go of sort of being chemically manipulated by a municipality? Now, I don't have any science in my corner on this. I'm not a scientist. I'm just a big mouth on the radio. I thought it would be great and compelling and instructive to have a couple of experts to talk about this debate. And we've got two men who are on opposite sides of the spectrum. Dr. Marvin Schissel is a dentist and an advisor to the American Council on Science and Health. He's also an advisor to the National Council Against Health Fraud, and he wrote some columns that first caught my eye, and that's, but I quoted from Dr. Schissel's column here on the show last week. Dr. Schissel, welcome to the Mike Gallagher Show. How are you, sir?
Thank you. Welcome. I'm happy to be here.
I appreciate your time. We also want to welcome on the other side of this Dr. Paul Connett. Dr. Connett is executive director of the Fluoride Action Network. It's an organization of activists, environmentalists, scientists who want to educate the public about the risks of fluoridation. He's also a professor of chemistry at St. Lawrence University. Dr. Connett, how are you?
I'm fine. Mike, thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate both of you, esteemed gentlemen, joining in on this conversation. We'll have a good old-fashioned debate, okay? Let's get both sides of this issue out so everybody can judge for themselves. First, Dr. Schissel, I've read your columns. You basically call the complaints and the cynicism and the concerns about fluoridation in the water sort of a hysteria, a brand of hysteria and a knee-jerk reaction akin to worrying about commies under the bed from 40 years ago, right?
How about paranoia?
Paranoia?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about it. From a scientific perspective, why shouldn't we be worried about a municipality adding a chemical, in this case fluoride, to the drinking water?
In your municipality, Mike, do they ask, do they add chlorine to the water?
Chlorine? I don't know.
Because chlorination is pretty universal in the United States. And what it does is, the reason you don't get typhus is because water is purified chlorinated.
Right. It's filtered, and there's a scientific process, that because if not, we'd be sick drinking bad water all the time.
Yeah. Well, the history of fluoridation in the country is pretty clear. Some over 60 years ago, it was noticed that there were people who lived in a small area in Texas, had discolored teeth, and what we would call mottled teeth. They were just sort of brownish discoloration, slight discoloration of the teeth.
Right.
And they also noticed, when they looked at these people, that they didn't have any cavities. Now, this was back in the days when, by the age of 35, half the people in the country needed dentures,
needed
a denture.
Right.
And, of course, it's entirely different today. So they tried to investigate why these people in Texas didn't have any cavities. And they found out that there was fluorine in their drinking water. It was naturally occurring fluoride. And that made them think it was the only difference between them and neighboring communities. So they eventually got to testing it. They tested it on entire populations of cities. And they found out, for example, in Newburgh and Kingston in New York and Battle Creek in Michigan, they found out that the people who were given fluoride after a couple of years for the fluoride to become effective amongst the whole population,
right.
But the people with fluoride had 65% less cavities than the people in the cities without
right.
fluoride.
So fluoride's good for you. Fluoride's good for dental health.
Right.
And it helps resent. All right, now, Dr. Conant, you call the practice of fluoridating the water unethical, unnecessary, ineffective, and unsafe.
Absolutely. Let's just take the chlorination. It's completely different from fluoridation. You add chlorine to the water to treat the water and correctly, and that does save lives. But with fluoridation, Mike, as you pointed out, you're using the water supply to deliver medication, and thereby you're taking away from the individual the right to informed consent to medication. You're allowing a community to do what an individual doctor cannot do to their individual patient. They cannot force medication on them. They can advise them. They've got to give them the advantages and the disadvantage. The disadvantages, and then the patient makes up their mind. In this case, we've got candlestick makers, butchers, bakers, you name it, making a decision on what medication we're going to take.
Dr. Schissel, isn't that valid?
Well, it's a point. I don't go along with that point. You know, if you buy flour, it's generally enriched, and enriching flour is, in a sense, medicating. The same. If you're going to call fluoridation medicating, you can call the enrichment of flour the adding of.
But doctor, by the nature of saying that it's going to improve somebody's dental health, isn't that by definition a medication?
Yeah, well, it's the same as the enriching foodstuff.
No, this is
and it's also adding a chemical to your body that is supposed to help.
Dr. Conant?
Yeah, well, it is completely different again because the examples that Marvin is citing there are known nutrients, known minerals, vitamins, vitamin C, vitamin D, and so on. And also, at the end of the day, the patient still has the choice of whether they're going to get fortified milk or unfortified milk. In this case, there is no choice in the matter.
Right, you turn on your spigot, you're going to get fluoride whether you like it or not. But Dr. Schissel, you've argued, and I've read your work, that fluorine, as you pointed out in Texas, through this Texas town, that's a known natural mineral, right?
Well, sure it is. It's a ubiquitous mineral. It's a very common mineral.
It's a ubiquitous mineral, Dr. Gunn.
Yeah, it is ubiquitous, but because something occurs naturally does not make it safe. Arsenic also occurs naturally in drinking water. That doesn't make it safe, and some communities are spending millions of dollars to remove that toxic.
Dr. Schissel, hasn't fluoride been used, or the component of fluoride been used for rat poison?
There's a principle in pharmacology that goes only the dose makes a poison. Now, fluoride at a certain dose is poisonous. Ketchup at a certain dose is poisonous. But fluoride at a certain low dose is an essential nutrient. Teeth won't form without fluoride. Skin and bones are probably involved in the metabolic processes. And fluoridation of water supplies has been called by reliable authorities, one of the great public health achievements.
Yeah, I mean, I've read that. But Dr. Conant, I think that you've tapped into something that is so important, and this is why so many of us are uneasy about fluoridation, and that is there's no choice. Like you said, you don't have any say into what you're putting in your body when you drink, you're drinking water, and you're ingesting fluoride.
Yes, absolutely. But let me go back to the point that Marvin is making. He talks about the dose, and yes, toxicologists well know this. It's the dose that makes the poison. That's a 16th century statement. However, first of all, let's look at the dose that nature, or the concentration that nature thinks is safe for a newborn baby, the level of fluoride in mother's milk. It averages about 0.08 parts per million. 0.008 parts per million. In other words, it's less than a hundredth of the level that they add to drinking water. A newborn baby in a fluoridated community is going to get over 100 times more fluoride than Marvin feels that the nature has determined is safe for the newborn baby.
All right, hold that thought. Doctors, I appreciate both of your perspectives, and this is why I wanted you both on. And I got to tell you, Dr. Schissel, with all due respect, I'm so far, round one goes to Dr. Paul Conant, because I'm real antsy about the idea of everybody getting medicated without their consent. But let's see what our listeners think. They're the ultimate arbiters in this kind of an issue. 800-655-6453 is our toll-free number. 800-655-MIKE. I hope you join us for Dr. Marvin Schissel, who thinks there's nothing wrong with fluoridating the water. Dr. Paul Conant, who thinks it's unethical, ineffective, unnecessary, and flat-out wrong. What do you think? We'll find out when we continue with your phone calls and the Mike Gallagher Show. Next. Schissel is a dentist and advisor to the American Council on Science and Health. He argues in favor of continuing to fluoridate the water. Dr. Paul Conant is executive director of the Fluoride Action Network, and he says it's unethical and unnecessary and wrong. Dr. Schissel, before we take a couple of phone calls, do you see anything on the horizon that suggests that this practice is going to cease?
No. The main question we should be asking ourselves is fluoride dangerous?
Right.
You know, and the answer is no, it's not dangerous. There's not a shred of evidence that says that fluoride is dangerous. All these years, nobody's ever been harmed from the proper, appropriate fluoridation of community water supply.
Dr. Conant, do you see anything changing in terms of the administration of fluoride, and do you think fluoride is dangerous?
Yes, I certainly do think it's dangerous. I think what Marvin has just said is unscientific. If he's to go to the literature, which you can find on fluorideaction.net, and you go to the health section, you'll find a whole series of papers indicating that fluoride, with a minimal margin of safety, if anything, impacts hip fractures in the elderly, lowers IQ in children in China, lowers thyroid function, causes reproductive effects. These are all documented in the scientific literature. Unfortunately, I think Dr. Schissel takes far more cognizance of what authorities say. But unfortunately, authorities in this case, particularly the U.S. Public Health Service, is somewhat dubious, because they endorsed fluoridation in 1950 before one single trial had been completed. Mm. They're not doing the most obvious things, scientific things that you would do to track this practice. For example, they've never done a comprehensive analysis of bone levels, fluoride, water, urine levels.
All right, let's let Dr. Schissel respond to all that, because I want to take some phone calls too. Dr. Schissel?
When we talk about authorities, the job of a scientist is not to challenge authority, not to walk around saying, oh, so-and-so says the law of gravity works, I'm going to challenge that. Science builds on authority. Now, if the course of scientific investigation, authority is overturned, so be it, because science is not written in stone. Now, all of the American Dental Association lists some 114 major national and international scientific organizations, all of whom, without exception, support fluoridation.
All right, let's take some phone calls. Andy, you're on the Mike Gallagher Show with Drs. Schissel and Conant. Go ahead, Andy.
Hi. I was very concerned about Dr. Schissel's comment that there's no evidence showing that fluoride can be dangerous, when the U.S. Public Health Service has urged parents to make sure that kids brush with only a pea-sized portion of fluoride toothpaste and rinse carefully afterwards. In addition to that...
Well, let's let him answer that one. What about that, Doctor?
Again, it's the old saw, only the dose makes the poison, fluoride in heavy doses. They're afraid that a kid will squeeze a whole tube of toothpaste into his mouth, which might not even hurt, but they'd rather it wasn't done.
David, you're next on the Mike Gallagher Show. Go.
Yeah, you guys could be talking about genetically modified foods for the same arguments you're putting on.
With the chemicals that are in foods, you mean, today?
Well, just like there's countries in Africa that rather starve to death than get genetically modified foods.
Dr. Conant?
Yeah, I think it's the same insidious thing, that somebody is doing something to your water or your food that you have no control over. It's very insidious, and it's very, very disturbing. I would like to address the authorities that Marvin continues to cite.
Real quick.
he cites the World Health Organization. We're not even following the World Health Organization directive, which is to ascertain the total dose of fluoride that our kids are getting before we put fluoride in the water. If we did that, we'd find our kids are already being overdosed.
Doctors Marvin Schissel, Dr. Paul Conant, thank you very much for spending a little bit of time with us. It's a good debate. We'll continue to revisit it and see how this thing unfolds. I appreciate you joining us. Gay marriage is on the ballot in Texas. How's that going to unfold? That's next on the Mike Gallagher Show.